Hello and welcome to the Power Suit podcast. We are back for episode 7. Are we on episode 7?
No.
I think so. I am joined, as always, by the one and only Katie K for our 7th episode of the Power Suit podcast. I can't believe we've made it this many episodes.
I'm proud. I'm very proud of us.
I'm proud of us for making it this far, for mostly sticking to it. I think we've been mostly sticking to it. We've been doing a pretty good job. We just had that one week that we skipped a little bit. We have a bunch of different topics to talk about, so we will dive in. But before we dive into all of our topics, Katie, I know you had a big weekend. You were speaking at an event and kind of sharing your knowledge with a bunch of people. So how did that event go for you?
It went good. It was in Miami. So for those of you that do or do not know, I always say I'm broken up with Miami, but the event was good. The people there were good. And we did some like different things. I went rogue with my speech the night before and woke up and we did some live coaching. It was really good. And then actually a cool thing that happened was I spoke at that event in November, right? And I was posting obviously in my stories and two people reached out. It was all on like buying and selling businesses, but how to like buy businesses with no money down basically. And I did the similar speech back in November and two people messaged me saying I did cashless business buys from hearing your speech. And I was like, and this is why we do it. So
that's awesome.
Fulfilling for sure.
Yeah. I do have to ask, because yes, I saw photos.
Yeah.
You were wearing what appeared to be flip-flops on stage. We must discuss this. This is not on brand. This is something that highly upsets me to my core. I know you don't wear heels to the level that I enjoy wearing crazy, ridiculous heels, but I found it really funny that I immediately was like, are you wearing flip-flop? Like, that was my response to what I saw being posted on social media. Are you wearing flip-flops? What is going on? So now I must ask you, were you in fact wearing flip-flops, and what was going on?
In my defense, they are Givenchy expensive flip-flops. Yes, I wore them on stage. It is on brand. For those of you who know, JT calls me flops, so I was still on brand. But I probably, you, my sister, like everyone was messaging me because they do know JT calls me flops. And they're just circling my feet and like sending them to me. I'm like, oh my God. I was having an endo moment and did not want to be in heels, so I wore them. I also forgot a blazer. That's why the cotton was on. It was a shit show.
But you were, I believe, I did also see you were wearing one of our new Leani two-piece sets on stage.
Comfortable. I love it. I'm going to post some videos and pictures so people can see as well. I wore all Leani outfits. I just forgot a blazer. That was the failure of the event. And then at the end, the guy who was running the event, we were all like taking pictures. Everyone was wanting to take pictures. And everyone was just joking with me about my slides or flops, as we like to call. And I was like, you know, this is kind of on brand for me. Everyone's busting my balls and making fun of me. And like, I'm taking a picture with him. And we first take the picture with the slides on and I'm like, da, 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 da. And I'm like, oh no, we can't take this picture. I need to put my heels on for the picture. He's like, so you can put your heels on for the pictures with everyone, but you can't on stage. And I'm like, yes, if you want 100% stage, Katie, I needed my flops.
it was really funny. And I had to laugh because it was just very funny. I thought it was very funny. And I was like, not in flip-flop. And like at Mega, I have definitely ran up on stage in sneakers, but they are like
bedazzled,
sparkly, shiny something sneakers, not just like, oh, these are just slides I packed to wear when I'm not, like, I purposefully pack cool sneakers to wear on stage. So I was just like, oh no, 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 no. What is happening? What is happening here? All right. So now that we got that out of the way for everyone, we will go ahead and jump into these topics. I am going to start with something because last week we were talking all about Coachella, the branding, the brand, the influencer trips, the do they get an ROI? And interestingly enough, this past week, Tarte did another Tripping with Tarte trip. It did not break the internet or TikTok like the Dubai Tripping with Tarte did, but it was interesting because I spent some time digging a little bit deeper into Maureen Kelly's actual social. She is the founder of Tarte. She's like on these trips, and they did it a little bit differently where they split it into two different groups. So it was like Tripping with Tarte group one, and then that group finished, and then a second group flew in. So instead of having everybody at once, they kind of like staggered the two trips, which was very interesting, the like influencers they put in the two different groups. But what I thought was cool is she did a video talking about why they do influencer trips. And I was like, yes, this is what the people want to know. Why are you doing these trips? And she was talking about how in that video, when they first started Tarte and she first got into their first store, which I think was Bendel's, that they had to sell. Like you, when you're new, it's all about, especially back at that point. Now it's a little bit different, right? Because you can get your products in the hands of people. They can go online and buy it. It's not as critical to be in a store. But you know, if you rewind 5 years ago, 10 years ago, if you didn't have shelf space in a store, it was really hard to sell something online. So it was like you get in the store, but then like, okay, that's just the first hurdle, because now every store is going to have different minimum, like probably unit numbers that have to go or dollar numbers you have to spend every week. So it's not just getting in the store. Now your shit actually has to sell and it has to go off the shelf. So she was saying her big thing when they first started was, how do I get this stuff to sell? We didn't really have like these huge marketing budgets to go on like television and print and all the things that would have been required at the time. So she basically, the first thing she did ever as marketing was organized a trip and invited people that were more influential in the kind of like beauty space, which at that time would have been more like YouTube-esque, like those were the early days of like YouTube and things like that, and invited all these people on a trip to build what she felt like was meaningful relationships with people and actually get to know individuals and get to like help them explore using the products and get their honest feedback on what are the things they liked, what did they not like. So not only was she building these meaningful relationships that people would then, they knew her and they felt connected to the brand, but she could also get like actual feedback from people of what they liked and what they didn't like. So they knew, okay, what did we need to change or what do we need to include or what do we need to create that we don't have from doing that. And she said since then, that's initially what helped her sell. And since then she was like, we don't use models. We always use real like actual people, which is now influencers using the products. We don't do print campaigns. We don't do like outdoor TV, billboard. Like they don't really do any advertising. They take all their marketing budget and do these trips. And she was like, we don't pay for posts. So we don't pay people to.
That's interesting.
Do the like, oh, this is an ad for the product. They put everything into these brand trips. And she's like, that's what's worked really well for them. And they've seen like the positive ROI from that, which I think is crazy. Personally, as I cleaned out my makeup drawer over the weekend, I did not realize how many Tarte products I actually own. Like, like when you just have makeup and you've had it, you know, you have it for a while or you rebuy it, you know what it looks like and you buy it. And you're not, to me, I'm not like reading the label of things every single day to be like, oh, this is what brand this is. Or like some of my stuff I know, but so many different things. And I know I used to buy them all the time from traveling because Tarte would always have these little like sample, like not sample, but like mini palettes of like eyeshadows or like blush and bronzer, to where it was so convenient traveling of to have these little tiny pallets that would be very easy to travel with versus only like having these massive pallets where you only use three colors of it anyway. So over the weekend, I thought that was interesting. Of all the Tarte products I've owned, and probably prior to this year, I couldn't tell you one brand marketing ad influence or anything. And then this year, I feel like it's everywhere.
Yeah. Interesting though, that they really don't pay influencers to do posting. Cause even the ones that do the trips and they put these campaigns together. I mean, I can understand they don't spend any marketing anywhere else. That I can kind of understand, because social media is where it's the most dominant, but that part shocks me that they're still not paying like someone to do a video of a certain product and post it. And then it leads me to like, if that's working, like how can other brands incorporate that? So and if you're doing like a trip-ish business, like how could you just start doing these influencer trips?
What I also think is interesting is they definitely are running ads now on social media platforms, because I've seen them off. And then I'm like, well, is it an ad? Like, so now I'm like trying to really dive deeper into this, is like, does everything match that she's saying, or is she just saying it and it sounds really cool? Because I see on TikTok where it'll be like Tarte and like shop now, where like if I want to buy that thing, I can like buy it. But I also know that TikTok is doing so many things now in the space of like seeing products and being able to buy them right away. Like, is it really considered an ad? Like, I don't know.
Well, and like, what do the contracts look like? So if you go on an influencer trip, is there like a sign off that we can use any of this footage and any of this in marketing? Because then they're winning. I send you on a trip, I bring someone that has a level of influence, but you sign off on the fact of, I can still take all these videos of you, tag you, post you. That's genius, which is probably what they're doing.
And then I sent you, because one, I think we should go. And then two, I was like, oh, this is like in line for the pod, where the Tarte, they posted a video of where they want to, like, you can actually submit, because they're going to bring, I'm going to call us normal people, or, you know, we're not TikTok influencers. I think we're influencers in a different capacity, but we're not makeup TikTok influencers, but we could be selected as a, anybody could, to go on the next like Tarte trip, which I think is also a really smart move, because you then have people that are watching people go on this trip. The trip looks so fun. It looks so cool. They're getting all this free stuff. They're getting all this like fun experiences, meet all these other people. But now like a normal person can have that same experience, which I think we'll see how it all plays out. But I think that's just going to bring more people into the brand.
Yeah. It's kind of like when on Instagram, when people were just starting to pay for influencers and they were like, start going after the micro influencers, the ones that have 10,000 followers, because it was like 10,000 followers and under. And the reason being was their fans were so loyal and so engaged, because it was, you were following something that was not mainstream. You're not following an influencer with a million followers that's going to post very specific stories and what they're doing in their day. You're following some mom of three that shows every living minute of her life, that's a blogger. And so you see, so those followers and that engagement is completely different. It's like that micro influencing versus the major influencing. And it converts really, really well with all other brands. So to be sending them on trips and stuff, think about some blogger that has 10,000 followers that gets to go, or us. We're going to talk about you 24/7.
Right. Because we don't get invited every weekend onto a different brand trip, right? Yeah. Just like I said last week, doesn't matter what the brand is, you send me to Coachella, you will get an ROI, because I'll never stop talking about it. And it's, you brought up about like, how could businesses use this? And it made me think back to my days when I worked in media and advertising, and we would do a trip every year with our high level clients. We would take, it depended on what the trip is, but it would be like our top 10 to 15 clients based on spend. So what they were spending, and we would go on insane trips.
Yeah.
Like one of the trips the last trip I went on, we actually went, it was like, we went through Italy. Then we went through, we were on, I don't want to say cruise because it's not like get Carnival, Royal Caribbean, like get all of that out of your head. That was not what we went on. It was like one of those high-end cruises where there's only maybe 200 people on the whole boat, right? Yeah. So like your room is a more like a legitimate room and there isn't like buffet dining. There's like 7 restaurants on board, but they're all like 5-star
yeah
restaurants and like a piano lap, like just such high end, right? But that cruise took us around the coast of Italy, stopped in like multiple places around Italy. Then we went to Monaco, Saint-Tropez, Nice, like just south of France, basically all through it. And it was like a 2.5-week trip and it was amazing. And that experience that everyone had and like the bonding, right? They basically do these trips and put these together to try and build those relationships to try and secure like, okay, you're going to continue to spend, you're going to continue to spend that level of money and you're going to continue to like grow that bond with people. So, you know, that's a way that I guess I was using a quote unquote brand influencer trip in a different capacity in a slightly different way that's more applicable to a business, right? Take your top level customers on these trips. Now, this is also when I was working for companies like Comcast or Hearst or Media General, who are also like a massive company and they're compiling like the top of the top. And so they're able to get the trips at a better, because they're not just buying 5 of them, you know, they're buying multiple, sending people from like all different properties that they own onto these different trips. And then it's part of the cost of the business.
Out of curiosity, was there like a sales pitch at the end or like were, or nothing? No. Just a,
so what, how it actually worked is you had to qualify to go on the trip. So all of our clients would know, this is what the trip is this year. We're taking X amount of people. And if you, Katie, want to go, this is what you would have to spend to qualify. And it would change based on everybody's level of spend. So like, it wouldn't just be like, you have to spend $1 million and you get to go on the trip. If you last year had spent 50,000 with me, it might be 75 or 100 and you could secure your spot, but someone else may have spent $500,000. So they have to bump it up to like 800 million to like, it was more of like a percentage increase. So everyone was securing their spot of going on the trip based on their incremental increase.
It kind of reminds me of the network marketing trips. So it's like incentivizing yeah. to do an influencer trip. And like now when you see those trips, they're incentivized to get on the trip. So you're incentivizing sales. Then when they're there, the brand's being recognized. The experience is right. the most important thing, right? Like those events definitely cost network marketing companies, Comcast, whoever it was, a lot of money. Same with Tarte and these like influencer trips, but the buzz it creates and the after ROI clearly right. is huge.
And ironically, for being media companies, they don't spend a lot of money on marketing. So it becomes, yeah. I wasn't the in marketing. These companies in the financials because I wasn't at that level and I was just in management, but I'm sure it becomes like the marketing line item budget because you do a little bit of marketing around like sweeps periods and stuff like that, which has changed so much what as markets when, you know, everyone went into to be media. Remember, this is like, we're talking 12, 15 years ago.
Yeah.
That this is when this was occurring when I was in that world. I don't know what it looks like now. But yeah, and the cool thing was typically too, managers from each location would get to go as a bonus based on their team's performance. So like if my team ended up getting X amount of people and that ended up being the most amount of people, since I was a manager and my team contributed the most, I was able to go on the trip. So it was also like, you're incentivizing me because I want like my team to get the most amount of people. So then I get to go as the representative on this trip, right? So it was like a
everybody's competitive. Yeah, it's a smart
smart way of like incentivizing. So I do think there's ways that businesses, whether it's like a client appreciation or is it something where you can go and like look at what are, is it a component of your business that people might be interested in? And people do things like this too, right? Like if you're in, people do like factory, oh, let's do a trip to go like look at the factory if you're in manufacturing. And I think these things exist, but I think it's also like, how can you make it a very cool experience so people will want to talk about it more?
Yeah. I used to actually do that with my vape companies because you could never give away vape or CBD for free. Like that's just a legality no-no. And so we used to do incentivized trips and it was always a trip to Vegas and we do one a month and it would be, I think it was like every 70, I had a weird, I did the math where like majority of my sales were this dollar amount. So if I did, I think it was $75. They got X amount of ballots. And if they were different thresholds, they got more ballots. And then, yeah, we'd have like all of our, whoever won would go on the trip. And then we'd like put the photo on the wall of like, this was last month's winner. But it worked because it would be like, oh, you're $5 away from getting five more ballots. Do you want to buy anything? And you can't buy anything in the store for $5. So there's another $20 sale, right? And then on top of that, they're posting like, oh, we're going away. And what CBD vape store was sending people to Vegas? No one. So it was kind of cool.
Literally no one.
Yeah. Katie.
Right. Which is cool. So I think it's, I would love to see businesses start to think a little bit more creatively. And I, you know, in our company, like we create really cool experiences. We don't send people on them, but we are able to like create really cool experiences that are probably once in a lifetime. So I think there's different ways that you can kind of create some of that. All right. Now I think it is time. I wish I would have thought of this. I would have queued up like the White House inaugural like music that is associated with the president, because the next topic we want to get into was the White House Correspondents' Dinner was just over the weekend. And none other than our good friends from Vanderpump Rules of Lisa Vanderpump herself, Ariana and Lala were at the White House Correspondents' Dinner. So let's get into how the heck do reality TV stars that you would think are like drama, I'm just going to say D-list star, yeah, like stars, end up at the White House Correspondents Dinner. So let's break it down.
First of all, the Daily Mail sent them.
Yes.
So why, in your marketing opinion, does the Daily Mail send? Now, it worked out in their favor, huge, but why would the Daily Mail send them prior to now knowing what unfolded?
So this is what I think. I think whether we like it or not, it has been one of the most talked about things, and not just on like the Bravo channels, but CNN was talking about it. So when it is something that's that relevant and timely, this is all in the past month, I think we month and a half ish, right? 2 months, something like that. So it's still very relevant to like right now. So it's not like this is something that happened 9 months ago and everyone was up in arms and like now nobody's uttering a peep of it. It's very timely, I think. So I think from a marketing perspective, if I have tickets, right? So I have my tickets that I can invite people to go to a certain event. And I think it breaks down a couple of different ways. You typically, we were just talking about influencer trips. The whole point is you want to either invite people that are going to end up spending, right? Like I would send either my high level advertisers who maybe are going to spend more money with me and do something cool for them, or I'm going to invite someone that maybe is going to get the people talking, that's going to perpetuate you talking about my company because I'm associated with these people. And the reality is, good or bad, good or bad people are going to talk about it, right? They, I mean, I don't think anyone would have sent Tom Sandoval and Rachel Raquel. I don't think anyone would have sent them, but had they, their name would have been so highly talked about, right? So it could have gone either way. I think obviously you pick the high road of the people that you want to see like come out and top and like win. But it also
if you look at who they picked though, they picked Lisa, of course, has to go.
You gotta pick Lisa because it's Vanderpump Rules and it's her right. show. So I think you have no choice. You have to take Lisa.
And then it's the two who won the best out of the scandal. Like,
well,
Lala
I think,
and
well,
her son with the barrel exploded.
Well, and I think you have to send Ariana because it's Ariana. Lala was an interesting choice to me. And in my head, I was like, were they always sending Lala? Because I remember hearing Ariana and Lisa Vanderpump were going. And then I saw Lala was also going. So I was kind of wondering, like, was Ken initially going and they were like, sorry, Ken, we're revoking your ticket and we need to send someone else? Or like, what was that dynamic or how did they choose? And I think, like you said, we got to pick Lisa. It's her show. It's her business. It's based on like people working in her business. You got to pick Ariana because she's the one who went through the shit. So you got to like have her come. When it's the third person, who do you pick? And partially I'm thinking, I mean, I would have loved to see a James Kennedy there because his one liner, like it doesn't get any more entertaining, but it's also a wild card. And I feel like with Lala, they maybe knew they were getting somebody who's going to be incredibly vocal about it and probably talk a lot about it, who herself has been in the media, not just for Vanderpump, but she's went through, you know, if you're talking about Daily Mail, I mean, everything she went through with her ex, everything her and her ex had gone through with 50 Cent, like there, she has generated a lot of attention in the media for other reasons outside of all this. And she's pretty vocal and, you know, and not for nothing, she's sober. So a yeah. little bit less of a wild card than sending a James Kennedy.
No, I think it's wild. I think it's just crazy how it kind of goes back to, I think it was last episode we were talking about when we were in Paris and like how celebrity branding and how much of a difference it made and yada, 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 right? Like we're just normal people, but then we have a picture with someone and suddenly we're somebody. And if you think about it, you know, we were talking about it just before this started and we can't confirm nor deny because we didn't check, but if it was Biden's daughter, sister, I don't know, someone with the last name Biden, obviously not his wife. There was an article talking about how she was sitting at home in her PJs. She found out the Vanderpump cast were going and she immediately got up, got ready and dragged her husband in. And it's just so funny because it's, you know, you think about the White House, you think about the political party, you think about like level of power and stature. And this is not about politics and it's not about who you vote for. It's just more about like, they are seen in a different light. And then they find out some random girl who's on a reality show is going to one of their political nights and I got to get ready and I got to go meet them. And it's just so funny to me that like, it doesn't matter how big of a celebrity, if someone perceives you as a celebrity or power or a level of control, which in this case, it's a scandal and it's buzz, like how excited the other party gets. And there was a lot of comments on there, like Washington loves Bravo. Like we're all huge fans. And like, I just can't see, it's like imagining the queen, God rest her soul, just sits there and watches Bravo. And she probably does. Like, it's just so funny to me to think and put those two things together. But.
And it's wild of how much the Vanderpump people were talked about in association with
the dinner. Yeah, and then they actually brought it up in the dinner.
In the actual speech. Right, in the actual speech, they reference Vanderpump Rules, and they reference the text messages, and they reference all of it in the actual speech, which is also just wild of you never know what's going to be the thing that ends up, you never know what it's going to be that you're known for.
Yeah.
You just don't. And unfortunately, was that whole group of people entertaining? Sure. This was just like so shocking and crazy that it made, you know, everyone was talking about it and everyone was like crazed over it. But like now that's going to be the thing that Tom and Raquel are forever known for. Ariana's going to be forever known for like the one who was slighted and is now living her best life, shining like no other. And I think it's something for people to also remember, like you never know what you're going to end up being known for. And you kind of got to remember that. It's just like we talk about on social media. You can sit here. I've had so many people say on TikTok, do this type of video. This is what goes viral. I do exactly what they tell me to do.
Crickets.
Giant flop. Nothing happens, right? Then I do some other random thing that's just like a random thing that pops in my head or I'm really like heated about or like am I crazy? Are you great? Like one of those moments. And like, that's what gets the engagement and goes. And so I think it's one of those, you never really know what it's going to be. You never know what it's going to be about. And I think that's one of the things people often forget is you think you can build something a certain way and then it ends up going a completely different way. And I think it's also really important that you know, like if this is what your brand stands for, you have to be that way
24/7.
And it's interesting, I don't want to we might follow up on this in a later episode because I think this is very interesting. You will know who I'm talking about because you know I told you of who I was exchanging emails with. So you will know who this story is about. I was going to ask you
if we could do this story in code. I forgot to pick it up. So good.
Yes. I know all of you listening, you're not going to fully get the context. And maybe someday I can share what the full context is. But we're kind of in the middle of trying to work something out. So I'm definitely not going to out it right now because that could make everything go sideways. If for some reason, and I think if I brought up this name, it could get.
Don't bring up the name. We'll just say.
It could get brought somewhere somehow. But
celebrity.
My point is, in the situation we're trying to work on right now, this individual just has this brand of being a certain way and, you know, repetitively says all the time, like, why are you worried about what other people are doing? Like, you do you. Like, don't worry about other people's opinions. Don't worry about what someone else is doing. Don't worry about what is going on with them. Like, you need to be worried about you. Like, what are you doing? Focus on you and don't worry about like the outside noise kind of. And now we're in this situation where I'm getting these very mixed messages that are like, no, I don't want people doing this, or I don't want that happening in association with me. And I don't like that. And I don't think people should do this. And in my head, I'm like, but you're all over the internet being like, don't give a shit about what anyone else is doing. Don't worry about them. Worry about you. Like that's, and I'm just like, oh, this is very interesting. This is very interesting to me how different one side is in what I'm actually dealing with and
especially
what's going on
with that individual, especially
with what's going on in the outward facing world. So that's why I'm saying we'll see how this all plays out. And once it's all said and done, I will come back and I will share. Yeah. I will share the ins
we'll
and outs.
We'll give you the juice.
Oh, and the interesting part, Katie, because I did not catch up with you on this, I got there was an email exchange, right? And so the first one had the signature that I told you. There was other emails exchanged, and each signature was different. So that is not just a standard, not that I think that would be a standard signature. That would have been a sign off to everyone, but it wasn't repeated the same way. So it wasn't just like, oh, this is just like
a standard. If you were able to, how did you respond to that? Did you just ignore, deflect and ignore?
Kind of. I did say, because it was kind of the question and then the signature. And so I was like, I've been doing well, thanks for asking. And then kind of responded to some of the other parts of the email. And I think maybe I did an emoji. I think maybe I put in like a smiley face emoji, because I was like, I don't want to completely pretend it wasn't there, but I also am not trying to be like,
got it,
over the top.
Got it.
Either. Everyone's going to be like, who is this email? What was said?
One day we will talk about this.
One day we will talk about it. One day we will share. And then I sent an actual picture of the email to someone else that I am emailing kind of on behalf of, to which they respond to everything else. And like, we're discussing, and I was like, well, I already responded, so, you know, you weren't answering, so this is what I said. And we're having a full conversation. And I was like, how about the last sentence of the email? And they were like, yeah, weird. And like, just didn't even say anything, which then I also was like, oh God, should I have not even brought it up? Did I just make it worse?
Oh God.
And I'm like, I know all these people. I'm exchanging things with all these people. How am I not on Raya? How am I not on Raya? Why can't I get on Raya? Raya, if you are listening, you need to accept me. You need to let me on your app, because I know people. I know people. I know things. I know what's going on in the world. I know what's what. And as you can see, I'm not divulging any the business out there.
Wild. So wild.
Yeah. Hudson's snores are probably loud enough where you can hear he agrees. This is some pretty wild ish going on over here. All right. So next question, how do we get invited to the White House Correspondents' Dinner?
Yes. Also, one thing I was going to say with the Vanderpump stuff is like, now do we believe it's been like taken too far? Like once it's populated viral like that, and obviously we're Team Ariana, like obviously we don't agree with what happened, but like it happens every single day.
Here's the wild part. The situation that Tom and Ariana are in, and I don't want to minimize it, and I don't want to make it sound like it, but that shit happens. Literally, you have husband and married husband and wife with children that end up leaving with the best friend, or totally leaving each other for a couple sister, they're friends with, the that brother. Leaves each other, or the sister, or the brother, or the dad, or the like, that stuff does happen, unfortunately, more frequently than anyone would like to admit.
Yeah.
I don't know if people are just so outraged because of who Ariana is. Like, clearly, everything happened to Lala that happened to Lala, and some people just seem to not really care that much about it, because I think Lala has that personality of, she will call you out. She will get in your face. She's a tough cookie, and she portrays herself that way. So, you know, did she get the sympathy of like, oh my gosh, I can't believe he did this to her in the way, like, I think it's so many people are just like, Ariana has never really, really fought with anyone. She really doesn't frequently get in people's, because you got to remember, Ariana ended up with Tom because Ariana and Tom hooked up while he was with Kristen. Now, was Kristen a hot mess express? Was their whole relationship a dumpster fire? 100% absolutely. But this dynamic we're all seeing unfold happens all the time.
I think it's because we're watching it. Like, we're obviously watching, it is also, I think, the way it was filmed. So I think that it would have still been a big deal. It still would have been a scandal, but the timing of it and the fact that the season was airing.
Yeah.
So we're watching them.
It's totally the timing.
Best friends. And like, we're watching Tom sit between the two of them. Like, we're seeing everything.
I had this conversation the other day of, had we watched the season
and then found out,
it wrapped, and then we found out, based on what we're seeing, I think people would have been like, well, no shit, Sherlock.
Yeah.
Of course that was happening. So I think that because it was the part of the season we were at and it wasn't quite there yet, I also think the producers 100% knew. I think the producers, this is what I think. I don't think anybody knew 100% for fact, except for Schwartz, because he has come out saying he knew. Yeah. I think a lot of them suspected, but didn't have tangible,
concrete evidence.
I walked in the door and this was happening, or someone accidentally sent me this text message that said these things, or I caught this on the Ring camera, or, you know, whatever it is. There wasn't that like concrete evidence. There was suspicion.
Yeah.
And I know, you know, she found out because she just happened to go through Tom's phone and somebody handed her the phone. And I know that it all happened how, you know, they said it happened, but I would not be surprised if somehow something wasn't slightly tipped or pushed, or because listen, if I'm a producer of that show, if I'm the executive producer of that show, and my team, we have a suspicion, I'm sitting there thinking, how do we push some of the buttons? How do we put the people in the scenario for this to come out? Because it's only really going to benefit everyone.
Yeah.
It's going to make the show go better. It's going to make the ratings higher. It's only going to end up getting her out of a bad situation. Like, you know, it's only going to end up benefiting everyone. Now, I'm not saying somebody knew and planted anything, but I think you know enough about business. And at the end of the day, yes, it's a reality television show. That is a business.
Yeah.
They are paying those people to be on that show. The network pays that production company for that show. Like, it is a business. Anyone can say whatever they want. It is a business. Money is being exchanged, right? The first season, usually a reality show is on. The people don't make that much money. But as the show grows, people get paid. All of those cast members are getting paid to be on that show. The network is paying that production company for the rights to air that show. So you've been around for as long as we had. We know going into the season, it's been a little bit of like, do we really want to see these people like having babies and get married and like become adults? Because the greatness of the show was the 20-some-year-old hot messes and the early 30-year-olds that still wanted to be the 20-year-old hot messes, right? So that's kind of, and how many people do you know that are like, oh, I kind of stopped watching it over the past few years?
Yeah.
So listen, we'd be completely remiss if we didn't at least have the idea that somebody pushed some envelope somewhere to make somebody question something to hopefully these dominoes would fall.
Yeah, I agree. And even like, it's not just the show. It's all their personal brands, the apparel, it's everything that gets sold from it. So it's
benefiting constant. Everyone yeah. in the long run. Yeah.
It sucks, but it's what they signed up for.
The last topic I wanted to bring up, because I more so also just wanted to ask you if you are seeing this everywhere, because I cannot turn on my phone or turn on my television without seeing J-Lo and without seeing one of her two brands, which everywhere all over my phone is this J-Lo skincare. I'm getting ads for it nonstop. It is the J-Lo. It is her skincare, which is a very interesting way that they're selling it. So I want to come back to that. And every time I turn on my television, it is J-Lo in her bra and underwear in this it's like intimacy, but Missy or something. I don't like the name at all, because I feel like it's one of those, like, just now I've seen it 8 million times and I don't know that I could spell it correctly or type it out or say it correctly, but it's her in her bra and underwear. The paparazzi like comes through the yard. She kind of like stands there for a minute to be like, oh yeah, catch me in my, you know, lingerie set that's beautiful, and then calls the dogs that like chase them out of the yard. And it's like Miss Minute, whatever the brand name is at the end. And I'm just like, wow, J-Lo, all of a sudden, at least to me and my algorithms, what's being marketed to me or I'm in the demo, is everywhere. And I don't know I've ever seen a J-Lo product.
I have not. I knew she had a skincare line. I didn't even know she had a lingerie line. And I have not seen the ads. But I do live in Canada.
So part of me is this the now J-Lo like pivot, right? I mean, listen, she, I think, is ageless and timeless and is beautiful. And I hope to have a fraction of her beauty, body, whatever at her age. So I'm not at all saying like she's getting quote unquote too old. That's not what I'm saying. But I also do know you get to a point in your life where you're like, I don't want to have to do tours. I don't want to have to, like, I just don't want to have to do that to make money. I want to do something else. And I'm like, is this the J-Lo pivot?
Yeah.
To something else. I also will say what is very interesting, because I have clicked that button. I've gone on there to be like, ooh, am I going to buy this J-Lo skincare? You can't buy a single product. You have to buy the line where everything comes as a sample, and your options are you buy it all, and then you get like these bonus things for ordering the kit. And then if you put it on auto ship, you get all these other extra bonus things. And in my head, I'm like, is that genius? Because you're selling all the products, you're trying to incentivize people to put it on auto ship. Or do you have people like me that are like, I might have bought a product, but I'm not going to buy the whole product line, that aren't going to buy anything?
Well, I think it comes down to her, once again, she's beautiful and she always will be, but is that her age demographic? Like, you're not going to get the busy people or the people my age to buy a 19-step skincare process. Not going to happen. But I feel like her age group, they will. So maybe
my
that's
age group, I think my age group will. Would.
Yeah.
I just am so, and it's not, I'll be very fair, it's not priced crazy. And I think it's small. You're not buying like these giant things of each of the products. I just know, I know the things I like, I know the things I don't like. So I think I'm just like, it's a commitment of like, now I'm buying all these items versus trying out like the cleanser, trying out, you know, the toner, maybe trying out a couple. And I want to say it's 4 pieces, 5 pieces, like it's not a lot of pieces, but it's interesting to me because I have not seen the option, at least from the ads that they're marketing, where I can just buy one of the things. And I'm like, are you?
Oh, you can though. It's in Sephora and you can do that in Sephora, but it looks like
on the ads they're marketing, it's the kit. And that's what I'm just like, as I'm getting these ads, and I buy a lot of things off ads, right? I buy a lot of things off ads. As I'm getting these ads, I can't buy just one item. So from that marketing spend, right? Or could it be intentional of, okay, I keep seeing the ad, I keep clicking on it, it's the whole product, but now when I'm in Sephora, I'll see, oh, there it is, and I can buy one of the things.
And we love Sephora because if we don't like it, we take it back.
So is that like, because the other one is the television commercials I've been seeing nonstop. I've not turned on my television.
It's an interesting point of like, okay, they're marketing it this way, but it can be broken up this way, but you can only buy it on her site like that and in Sephora like this, which we'd have to check the prices, but there's a reason for it. But I agree with you. Like, I don't want to buy 19 things to put on my face. I actually, a funny point to this, when I was just in London, I went to the spa and they like did my facial and whatever. And of course, everything's an upsell. So she's like walking through and she's like, yep, like, what do you use on your face? And I'm like, just this. Like, this is, when I'm home, I have all this. But when I'm not home, I just have this. And she's like, okay. She's like, there's this product. And she's like, I think you would love it because you're busy and you're always on the go. And we want one product, we want one easy on the go item that we can use, and we want to be able to use it fast, easy, and get the same result. So I don't know what
one step.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I don't know. Part of me also wonders, like, because I usually say when it comes to marketing, like if you're marketing too many things, it gets too confusing to people. So I'm also not sure, like, is this a genius way for them to market where it's like, you see the ad and it's like the little mini fridge for like makeup product type things that you could have on your like bathroom counter to have everything cool. They open it, they're seeing the different products. You click on it and you can like buy the whole set. And I want to say it might be 5 or 6 products. I don't think it's like overwhelming. I want to say it's like 5 or 6. And is it, okay, you are making it easy for someone to where it's just like, okay, simple, one choice, one option. I'm not overwhelming someone with choices. What I will be very interested to see are like, what are the sales? How is this business doing? What do people start to think of it? Because it is also interesting to me, there's two very different products. You have skincare and you have lingerie, and they're both being marketed very differently.
Yeah.
And so I think that we're seeing a little bit of a brand pivot for JLo, which I think is smart. She's diversifying. I didn't do any research to know how it did. She slap her name on something, or has she developed these products? That I don't know, but it's definitely a little bit of a brand pivot, which I think is smart because she probably doesn't want to be touring and singing and dancing around forever and wants to have other things going on. So I think it is a smart move, and I'm interested to see what the results come out to. How are sales? She's also
like very close with the Kardashians and Kris Jenner, and like I think if you sit in those circles and you're friends with those people, like they have the top marketing teams, they have the top beauty teams working on it. One other thing I was going to say with the product though, is when her name is attached to it, she wants people to have the results. So she doesn't want like someone to just buy the cleanser and then they're like, oh, it's just another cleanser. And I do know with like multiple beauty products, like you have to switch everything over. Because otherwise it's like something else you're putting on your face or whatever is not helping or is not the same level of product as like her product, right? So if you do all this work and then you have a really shitty moisturizer, well, then your face is still going to be dry. So I could also see like maybe the packaging part was, well, my name's attached to it, my brand's attached to it. We do want people to have the result. So we want them to use the whole process. But at the end of the day, people are lazy. So they could buy the whole product pack and they're still not going to use it.
So we'll have to see. We'll have to touch back on this one. But I mean, I do also know if this is what makes JLo beautiful, then sign me up for it. And I probably will. Like in Sephora, I would probably be like, all right, let me try this thing. Right. So we will see. We will see what unfolds there. I'm going to get into my power tip of the week, which I originally kind of had it as a topic, but the more I think about it, I think it is more of a tip. And what I would say about my tip for everyone and something for you to think of, if you are doing business, if you are dealing with someone in business, if you're dealing with someone personally in a relationship, like whatever the case may be, and you feel like something is off, and then you're starting to have anxiety about it. And then you're starting to be worried about it working out all the time. And then you're worried about the different people in the deal and how are people going to respond? How is the deal going to go? Is this person going to go through? Like if you start to have those feelings, something is off. And I wanted to talk about this a little bit because I think it actually came from something that Ariana had said in an interview. Cause you know, this is a Vanderpump Rules pod. where she had basically said, and throughout the entire show, she struggled with depression. She struggled with anxiety. Like she struggled with some of those things. And she has said since the split from Tom, she's noticed she's not nearly as depressed. She's not nearly as anxious. Like a lot of those things have kind of lifted from her and are not at the severity level that they had been in her past, which you think you go through this, you're one of your best friends with your boyfriend. Like I would be in a dark hole, at that point.
Yeah.
And so, you know, it's not to say like she never is going to have those things again. But to be, you know, only a little bit on the other side of that and feeling like this huge weight is lifted off kind of reminded me of, there's oftentimes situations in business where you're kind of feeling, you get this gut feeling in a certain way, but you're like, with the opportunity or the deal or, you know, the hiring someone, the companies they've worked for before, and you're just like, but it looks so good on paper. I think a lot of times we forget that our intuition is often right and is trying to tell us something. And I think more often than not, we end up looking at the opportunity and miss all the signals in between of, maybe I should be questioning this a little bit more. So yeah. My kind of tip for everyone is, if you feel like you're in a situation and it is like, you're anxious all the time, you're stressed, you're worried, maybe you should reevaluate the situation and the people in the situation, because it shouldn't be like that. Now, listen, business has stress. There isn't that, like, I'm not going to say there isn't. There's times where we're trying to put deals together where we were just talking about this the other day, Katie, where it's like, you were waking up in the middle of the night being like, how can I make this work? How can I make the money work? How can I make all the pieces of this puzzle come together? And so, yes, there's always going to be times where you have an opportunity and there is like stress and anxiety, because you're like, I want to figure out how to make all the pieces of the puzzle come together. Yeah. And like, how do we make this work? And so, yes, I'm not saying you should be without stress, but if you find yourself in a situation where that stuff is getting perpetually worse, right? And your anxiety, your stress, you're like on another level and it's growing over time. I would say that is you trying to tell yourself, pause, stop, reevaluate.
Yeah.
And I think so many people forget to do that and then end up in a situation that it's so far down the tracks on, you don't know how to reverse it. And what ends up happening is the deal falls apart. Somebody gets screwed out of something. Like, there ends up being so many issues where if earlier on you would kind of like take a second and ask yourself, like, why am I stressed? Like, why am I stressed out? Why am I having anxiety? It's usually because something is off. And if you take a second to like evaluate that, you're going to end up putting yourself in a better situation before it gets to a point where you just can't, or everything literally explodes and everyone's covered in shrapnel, which you want to avoid if you can in business, for sure.
Yeah, no, that's such good advice. Like two parts to piggyback on it would be, like, I always tell people, you have to figure out your emotion to money. And I feel like you really have to kind of sit down and say, so whether you're in a relationship, it always comes down to kind of how you were raised and how does your mom look at money and how does your father look at money and how were you raised and what kind of upbringing did you have? And then when you get married, or you have a partner or a boyfriend or a girlfriend and you're maybe in under the same roof, it also comes down to like, what is that emotion to money? And you have to put like two households together and think, okay, well, we're looking at money one way or another. And when you're making decisions in business, like, I literally do not have an emotion to money. I don't know why. I've tried to kind of go through my upbringing and things that happened in my life. But when I'm doing a deal with someone or I'm working with someone in business, I'm always like, I can feel how someone's emotion to money is. And I think that if people remove that and, like you're saying, like, address things, the anxiety isn't as big. You're then just looking at things objectively. So I think that's a great one for business. And I think like relationships and business partners as well, like, you have to just pull the trigger. And you're right. Like, you're going to have stress. I definitely did text Francie and was like, oh my God, need to handle this. Like, it was driving me nuts, but it was driving me nuts because I just want to solve the puzzle, right? I know it's sitting in front of me and I want to solve the puzzle, versus like, I don't feel like if I don't figure out that puzzle, you know, everything's going to go up in flames, where I feel like some people have that emotional attachment, and just trust your intuition.
Yeah. And I think it's a good point on understanding, like, what is your emotion and what is your attachment to money and what are your goals? Because I do think in different businesses, different partnerships, different deals, different opportunities, people look at things differently. And some people don't like to get tied into long-term things. Some people don't like to do short-term things. Some people want to have all the control. So they're like managing on a daily basis. Some people don't, they just want to get involved in something and like somebody else is taking care of. So you really have to know, like, what are your goals? What are the other people's goals? Because I think a lot of times people don't think about those things initially. They just like jump in and they're like, it'll all work out. And then are like, wait, why am I going to do this? Or why are you doing that? Or who's doing this work and who's doing that work? And people will just be like, oh, we're 50-50 or a third, a third, a third, or, you know,
yeah,
a quarter, a quarter, a quarter. And then being like, well, wait a minute. This person's doing all the work. This person does nothing. Like, it's got to balance out. And I think sometimes too, that's where that stress and anxiety can come from. So that is my tip. That is my piece of advice for today. Did you have anything else you want to add?
I don't. I have two, but I'm going to save them for next week.
All right. We are going to save them for next week. You will have to anxiously wait for what those tips are going to be next week. Again, leave us a review, give us 5 stars, let us know what you want us to talk about. You can always, the DMs are open, KDK official or Francie VB, and you can let us know what you want us to talk about, different topics you'd like us to discuss, and we will discuss them. And don't forget, leave us 5 stars. If it's less than 5 stars, send it to Daryl. We don't want to see it. And we will see you all next week. Thanks for joining, everyone.
Hi, everyone.